want you to turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm 96. We're going right on through the Psalms. That seems to be the way the Lord's leading me. And this will probably be the only message I preach out of this particular Psalm. And a lot that's been said in it, has already been said in Psalm 95 as far as that's concerned. And it's not anything wrong with repetition. We learn by repetition. And we really do, believe that or not, we learn by repetition. And so there's nothing wrong with that, but I felt like just this one, probably one message would be sufficient for the chapter. And I've spent the day in it trying to wallow around in a little bit and get all I could get for you from it tonight. And we'll basically be speaking out of one verse, primarily out of one verse. I generally do that in my messages. I try to get a thought. And I try to use generally one verse of Scripture most of the time to bring that thought. But at any rate, we won't try to preach to you. Psalm 96, beginning in verse number 1. I want to read all 13 verses. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Amen. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Amen. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Amen. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. Amen. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, and let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Amen. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. Amen. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. And let's pray now and ask God's help. We'll try to bring the simple little old thoughts that God has given us tonight and hope He'll take it and do a little something with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the great and marvelous and glorious love of our God. So thankful, Lord, that You loved us enough to come into the world, die at the hands of sinful men, that You might save those that even crucified Thee. I thank You tonight, Lord, for loving sinners. I thank You tonight, Lord, for particularly loving me and giving me life and that more abundantly. I thank You for the joy that I've known in serving You. I pray You'd bless us tonight as we've come together. Help those I mentioned, Lord, tonight that are sick in our midst and those that are away from us as well. I do ask You, Lord, to give good grace starting tomorrow. Grant us victory. You're a victorious God, and Your people can have victory in Thee. And I pray You'd grant it to us on this radio marathon. I pray now for the service tonight that You'd anoint the preacher with fresh oil. Let me preach the Word of God. Be a blessing to Your people, glorifying Your name, magnifying it, lifting it up. Have Your divine will and way in saving sinners and reviving Your people and glorifying Your name. We'll thank You for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I said I wanted to read one verse, but actually I want to read two verses tonight to get in the context of what I'm preaching. I want to read verse number 8. And number 9, where the psalmist here said, give unto the Lord the glory. Amen. Due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Now, Psalm number 96 is the next psalm in a series of several psalms that deal with the worship, deal with worship and the praise of our God. Amen. And I want to preach tonight on the lines of worship. I've got a title, but the title is kind of, as Brother Nolan says, it's kind of like a curl in a pig's tail. Sometimes it's a little cute, but it don't add any flavor to the pork. And so, but I want to try to preach tonight on the thought of the chemistry of worship. Exactly what worship is in the context that it's written in here tonight. He said there in verse 9, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, this psalm, as I read down through it, if you've read the Bible much, I think you'll realize it is probably taken from that blessed sacred hymn that was compiled by Brother David in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. There's no divisions. Charles Spurgeon said there's no divisions in it. It's like a garment of praise without seam woven from the top throughout. And how true that is. From its content and background, we can conclude that it is a psalm of praise. As David brought up the Ark of God into the city of Jerusalem, into the place that he had prepared for it, David brought it up with dancing before the Lord and offering sacrifices and worshiping God. And as he did so, I think you and I likewise ought to worship God in His glorious presence. And you know, you better, and I've said this so many times, but I'll mention it again tonight. We certainly need to be careful how we criticize those in worship in the Lord and in the means and the ways that they do that. You know, Daniel danced before the Ark of the Covenant. And he danced in such a way that it offended his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter. And David rebuked her for that. And her God dried up her womb because of that. God judged her because of that. And so, and I've often said that maybe our churches are dry today, and the spiritual womb is not open like it ought to be because we have failed to worship God. And when we do, we're often criticized, and God will not tolerate that criticism. Concerning the worship of the Lord. That's absolutely an absolute fact. Now, as David danced before the ark and offered sacrifices, I think even so we should worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, offering to Him the sacrifice of praise, as the Bible said, even the fruit of our lips. And I'm having a hard time reading my own writing. But rather than expound this entire psalm, I'm just simply going to use verse number 8 as a primary verse for the thought on worship, because many of the things mentioned about worship I've already preached about or said something about in the previous psalm. I talked in that previous psalm about the song, how we sang in worship. And we are to worship God because of our salvation. And we worship in the presence of God. Now, please keep in mind about the emphasis in this is of our worship in bringing glory to God. I want to stop right there for a minute and say that is the very reason that we worship Him. Is to bring glory to His wonderful name. And worship does glorify God. And somebody said, how? Well, this is not in my notes, but I'll tell you how. As we worship God, He is recognized as being the sovereign God of the universe. In worshiping Him, we recognize Him as having power and authority over all humanity. As we worship Him, we recognize Him as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and having power over all the enemy and conquering all the enemy of God for our sake. And there's many other things that I could say about that. But according to our verse, verse number 8, I want to mention, first of all, the glorious object of our worship. The glorious object of our worship. Notice, and I believe David wrote this, as I said, I believe you can read about it in 2 Chronicles and chapter number 16. But notice here what David said in verse 8. He said, "Give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name." Now, we're not to worship the gods of the nations or the idols, as it says in verse number 5. But we're to worship the Lord that made the heavens. And the Lord is the glorious object of our worship. And may I say, He is a glorious Lord. Amen. He is the altogether lovely one. Yes. All glory is found in the Lord. Amen. You and I have no glory of our own. Right. Although He said in Ephesians, "Unto Him be glory in the church, world without end." And He said, "Amen." And so we are to give glory unto the Lord. The only way that is possible is the fact that God first glorifies us through His grace and by His mercy, and we're able to give that glory back to the Lord as we worship Him. Now, He said, "Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name." And I want to say this, the glory of God, the glory of God consists of God's goodness. You can't have the glory of God without having the goodness of God. Miss Hall don't know it, but I read her Sunday morning little notes that she makes to you in the bulletin. And I've read there several times where she says, "God is so," and she puts that O on there about 75 times. And she said, "God is so good." And how true that is. God is good, ladies and gentlemen. And the glory of God consists of His goodness. Now, where do we find that goodness of God that we are to worship Him? Well, may I say, His goodness is in repentance. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Wasn't God good when He granted you and I repentance unto faith? Amen. The Lord could have left us alone in our sin and let us die and go to hell. But it was the goodness of God that brought us to a place of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never repented, you've never been saved. I don't care what the neo-evangelicals have to say about repentance, and some of the easy believism crowd has to say about repentance. It is not a work. But without repentance, no man shall be saved. I'll assure you that. Repentance is a work of the grace of God, and it's granted to you and I sinners because God is so good to you and I. Now, I'll say this before I get to my point, but we are to worship God because He has been good to us in granting us repentance unto faith. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to turn you around. He didn't have to turn you around from that Broadway that you were on. He could have left you on that Broadway that led to destruction. But by the grace, the glory, and the goodness of God, God turned you around and put you on a narrow way. And because of that repentance that He's given us, we ought to glorify Him and worship our God. Somebody say amen right there. Now, David said in Romans chapter 2, and verse 4, he said, "Or despises the riches of His goodness." Do men despise the riches of God's goodness? The Bible said His goodness is rich. In fact, it's got riches within it. And are we to despise the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Then Paul goes on to say, "Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Now, isn't that a tragedy that people don't know that the goodness of God leads them to repentance. Somebody said, preacher, what do most people believe? They believe that their works is what gets them to repentance. In fact, there is Baptist preachers in our own community that will tell you that if you preach repentance, that it is a work, and it's not a faith. It's not works. Repentance is not works. For the Bible said, knoweth thee not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. A blind man could see that repentance is a work of the Holy Ghost of God, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not a work salvation to preach repentance. The Lord said, except ye all repent, ye shall likewise go to hell in so many words. Amen. That's right. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Boy, and I'll tell you, do preachers well today to start preaching on repentance again. Somebody said, what is repentance? It's turning from serving idols to serve a true and a living God. And rather than being a heathen, like I said in a previous verse, and worshiping dumb idols, we worship God. Hallelujah. Boy, there's a crowd in this world today that worships gods that have eyes but don't see. And ears but don't hear, and mouths but don't speak. They can't say a word. And people worship them. I think it was Brother Woodard said something in the office tonight that the Pope blessed something. I don't know what he said. I couldn't hear what he said. Made out of plastic. Now you tell me how anything made out of plastic, God's going to bless it. Or the Pope can't bless nothing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, he didn't have any blessings to bless people with. I'm glad God is our blesser. God blesses us with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and therefore we are to worship God and honor God and glorify God because of the work of repentance that He's granted to you and I, sinners. Amen. That's right. Amen. His goodness in repentance. Now, notice this. In His goodness, He receives, in His goodness of repentance, He receives sinful men. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Yeah. The Bible said in Luke 15:2, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, right, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Aren't you glad that God receives sinners? Amen. We sang that song often. God receiveth sinful men. Even me with all my sin. And you know something? The Pharisees couldn't get a hold of that. That the Lord fellowshipped and visited and had and ate with sinners. But I'm going to tell you what He did. Because He came into the world to receive sinners and not the righteous man. I preached that so many times. It's not the righteous that's going to get saved. It's that man that recognizes he is a sinner and unworthy of God's love and unworthy of deliverance that God can get a hold of and bring him to a place of repentance and save him by the grace of God. Can I tell you about a few sinners that God received? In the same. Well, we'll preach on Jerome a while. In that same chapter number 15, I'm glad that the father received that prodigal. There was a prodigal down in the far country in a hog pen. But I tell you, when he come to the father, he in no wise cast him out. But as a sinner, God received him. Now, I know there's different beliefs on whether that prodigal was lost or was backslidden, but I'm telling you, he was a lost sheep, there was a lost coin, and there was a lost son. And in the context, when it said he received sinners, well, that's in the same context, 15:2, I'm telling you, that boy was lost. In other words, he had departed from what was right and followed sin in his life. But thank God, when he repented and turned to the Father from that sin in the hog pen, God received him with outstretched arms of love, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you think that boy glorified the Father? Don't you think he worshiped the Father because of what the Father had done? I say, sure he did. Hallelujah to God. Thanks be unto the Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to say, secondly, that not only did God receive that prodigal, but you know, God received Paul.
Amen.
Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And he mentioned three things about him that are not found anywhere else in the Bible.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you that Paul was a real man of worship. You better believe he was. He was a real man of worship. And he gave unto the Lord the glory that was due his name. Somebody said, how did he do that? I'm glad you asked. He said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, there's nothing else to glory in, buddy. There's nothing in self to glory in. And there's nothing in this world to glory in, but we can glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's right. He that died on Calvary. And old Paul, God received him. Amen. On the road to Damascus. He repented and turned to God. And God received him as a sinner. Saved him by his grace. And made a saint out of him. Hallelujah. I'm sick and tired of this bunch of Catholics talking about they made so-and-so a saint. Catholics ain't made nobody a saint. I'm telling you what we are. We're saints in Christ Jesus. I don't have any pin feathers growing, but I am a saint of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know exactly altogether what it means to be a saint, but one thing I know it does mean, it means that we're born again. It means that we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. You better believe it does. Now, he not only received the prodigal and received Paul, but he also received old Zacchaeus. He passed through Jericho that day, and Zacchaeus was up in that sycamore tree. And he looks up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Old Zacchaeus had climbed up her because he was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. For he heard the Lord was passing by that day. And isn't it strange how God passed by right under that tree where it was at? Somebody said that was a coincidence. No, that was intentional. That was a purpose behind that. God stopped right under that tree and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, now here's what I'm telling you. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Why? For I must abide at thy house today. What are you saying? I'm saying that Christ receiveth sinful men, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. God receiveth sinful men. And because of that, he ought to be the glorious object of our worship. If we could ever get a hold of the fact that God has delivered us from the, or Christ has delivered us from the wrath of Almighty God. Somebody said, well, I've been delivered from hell. Oh, we've been delivered from the wrath of God. Our sin had offended God, but we're delivered from the very wrath of Almighty God, friend. Thank God. Now I'm telling you, hey, I'm not going to hell. But I'm so glad I've been delivered from the wrath of God. Amen. You better believe that. You better believe that's right. Amen and amen. That's right. So the goodness of God relieves us, or the goodness of God, he receives sinful men. Then goodness of God, he also relieves our misery.
Amen.
We ought to worship him because of that.
Amen.
Now think about the man and the good Samaritan. That man on the way down to Jericho from Jerusalem. The Bible said that he fell among thieves. And was stripped of his garments. They took his clothes. Stripped him. If I understand that word stripped the way I think it means, they left him naked. Can you imagine how miserable that man must have been and how pitiful he must have looked laying in that ditch naked and wounded and bleeding? And the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, but I'm telling you, the Good Samaritan came by, which is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and saw that man in his misery. Oh, if we could ever get people to realize that in sin they're miserable. They really think they're having fun until God really brings them to a place like He did this man on the way to Jericho. Amen. Boy, He wasn't like the priest and the Levite. He didn't walk on the other side of the road. The Bible said that he got off his beast and got down in the ditch where that man was at and poured in oil and poured in wine and bound up that man's wounds, ladies and gentlemen. What a great God that we have. Hallelujah. I'm glad He relieves us of our misery. I don't know about you, but when I was lost, I was miserable as a man should be. Knowing that I was going to hell and really didn't care. I mean, miserable in life. I had no joy and didn't know what it was. To me, joy was boozing and drinking, leaving home, letting my wife sit at home by herself while I was out on the town all night, and wake up the next morning, didn't know where I'd been, who I'd been with, and what I'd done. Miserable. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but when I really got miserable is when God began to deal with me. And I started to want to do right and realized I could not do right on my own. That's miserable. And you don't know how to get right. But thank God when the Holy Ghost gets down in the ditch where you're at, He'll show you how to get right. Amen. Amen. He'll show you how to get right. Now, I'm going to say there ain't no more miserable a man or a woman than a person that really wants to get right with God and don't know how. Somebody said, well, what do you do about that, preacher? You don't do anything about it. You just keep waiting on God. I waited patiently on the Lord. And He inclined His ear unto my cries, what David said. And He brought David up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I'm going to tell you what sinners need to do is wait patiently on the Lord. Amen. God don't say, somebody said, well, God will save you the minute you call on Him. God will save you if God's dealing with you. Amen. Now, you can like that or love it. Don't make no difference to me. Salvation is of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I believe in a whosoever will, but not a whensoever will gospel. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Isn't it wonderful? That fellow went down from Jerusalem down to Jericho and fell in among thieves. And probably thought that was, and they stripped him. They took everything they had and left him half dead. And he was miserable. And he probably thought that was the worst thing that ever happened. But, may I say, that's the best thing that ever happened to him. That's the best thing ever happened to that man in all of his life when he fell amongst those thieves. Amen, I'm telling you, he fell. I believe those thieves were sin and Satan, and they stripped him, amen, robbed him, wounded him, and left him half dead. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, when Satan and sin get a hold of a man and he knows they got a hold of him, God will show up. Amen. And if God's treated you that way and loved you that way for crying out loud, is it not time that we give Him the glory that is due His wonderful name? Hallelujah. Amen. Due His name. It's owed to Him. He deserves it, ladies and gentlemen. Glory due His name. Give Him the glory. As Hall sings that song, give Him the glory. It's about time we done that. How do we do that? In worship. In praise. In adoration to His holy name in what He's done. Amen. I know that's right. Now, that's right. Now listen, His goodness relieves our misery. He was stripped of His clothing, wounded, and half dead. Somebody said, well, what do you mean He was half dead? Well, just like a lost person is, they're half dead. Every lost person is half dead. They're alive physically, but they're spiritually dead. They're half dead. Alive in the body, but dead in the spirit. And I'm telling you, when that Samaritan got in that ditch with that miserable man, he that was half dead, when he got up out of that ditch, when he got out of that ditch and got on that donkey, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't no more half dead. He was alive in Christ. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I don't read it, but I'm reading between the lines. When they got down to the inn and that good Samaritan paid that innkeeper and said that you take care of him, and if I owe anything when I get back, I'll take care of it. I guarantee you, that old boy had been wounded and stripped and left naked and half dead. I'll guarantee you he thanked that man, that Samaritan. He thanked him as much as until the man had run, gone out of his sight. He thanked him. Thank you. Couldn't thank Him enough. I ask for testimonies and some of y'all claim you're saved. Set like dead people. How can we not thank Him for what He does? We sang that song when Brother Doug sang, before I can shout hallelujah, I want to thank Him for what He's done. And bless God, if we can't thank Him down here, we'll never thank Him on the other side. Amen. That's right. Thank Him now while you got breath in your lungs. There'll come a day when that breath will be gone. Thank Him now. Amen. For what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't say His goodness. Glorious object of His worship. The glorious object of our worship is the Lord. Not man. Not football heroes and basketball stars and baseball stars. Not movie stars. Not shooting stars. Not the moon, the sun, or the stars. Not totem poles. Not the Pope. Not statues of Mary. Somebody said, do they worship them? Yes. See, they do. And I've never seen anybody so benighted as a Mexican people. I've seen statues of Jesus with red paint on His knees like He done penance. But that bunch of Catholics try to teach them that so they'll keep on doing penance. And they claim Jesus did penance, that He found favor with God by doing penance. That's what Catholicism teaches. And they'll go by and kiss His big toe on that statue. I've seen concrete worn to the nubs where it's been kissed by people. Statues of Mary kissed on the big toe. Ask my wife and my children if I'm lying to you, buddy. They had an old wooden statue laying in a casket at the Santa Vera Mission and walked by and bowed down and kissed that stupid thing. Bowed to it, a piece of wood. They'd raise a little blanket up and stick their hand under his head and raise his head up, give him a kiss and lay him back down. I walked by him, raised his head up, pulled the blanket down, laid a track on his chest and covered it up. Next person that walked by, raised his head up, put the cloth down, and there laid that track. Said, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He looked at me like that and I just looked down and smiled. They had a piece of wood laying in a glass box in there and said that was one of the apostles' arms. And they believed it. They worshipped a wooden piece, a piece of wood that they thought was an arm of an apostle. And had been told that. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're telling jokes. I'm not telling you jokes. I'm telling you for real that there's people in this world that do not know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the object of their worship. They'll worship the Pope. They'll worship Mary. They'll worship statues. They'll worship idols. They'll worship themselves. They'll worship their own heroes. They'll worship everything and everybody but the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Give the Lord the glory. Do His holy name. Amen and amen. We're going to be a long time if I don't hurry up. Now, not only His goodness also removes our guilt, and I won't tarry long here. What about that little prostitute in John 4? The men brought her and said, we caught her in the very act. Said Moses and the prophet, said, stone her, what are you saying? Jesus wrote down on, bent down and wrote on the ground. He raised up, and they began to go away from the oldest to the least. He bent back down again, started writing on the ground, and they all started leaving. When he rose up, they were all gone. They said, where are those nine accusers? And that little prostitute looked at him and said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn thee. And then he said this, go and sin no more. Oh, bless His wonderful name. Do you think He's not worthy of our worship and giving Him all the glory? He removed the guilt from that little girl. I'm telling you, we were all guilty sinners. We were guilty. But God removed that guilt. And because of that, we ought to give Him the glory that is due His wonderful name. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. You were guilty. If some of y'all went out here and got a traffic ticket for reckless driving, they're going to take your driver's license. And you knew you were guilty, and somehow you weaseled out of that, you would shout for 6 months. Because you kept your driver's license. But you are guilty and ready to lose your soul, and Christ has gained your soul for you, and we cannot thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him because He has taken away the guilt of our sins. That's right. Give Him the glory, the object of our worship. The glorious object of our worship is the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it says in verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. And I'm just showing you some of the ways to do it. His goodness in repentance. But I saw some goodness in revelation as well. As God revealed that goodness to us. I thought about old Moses in Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19 there. They had worshipped that golden calf, and Moses had interceded for him. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now notice this, what the Lord says. And He said, that is the Lord, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. There's that name again. I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Are you getting a hold of this? I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. The goodness in Revelation. Now, His goodness and His glory is revealed while He is close by. Not while He's at a distance, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Exodus 30. Three, Exodus, sir. I'll find it here in a minute. Exodus 33 and 21, that same chapter. And the Lord began to pass by, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, there is a place by me. There shalt thou stand upon a rock.
Amen.
A place by me.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. If we're ever going to see the glory of God, if we're ever going to be able to give unto Him the glory that is due His name, it's going to have to be because He's close by. God does not work at long distance. That's why I preach on the presence of God. I'm telling you, we've got to have it. If we really want the glory of God to settle in on this place, and by the way, it'll take His glory settling in before we can give Him the glory that is due His wonderful name, buddy. Better believe it will. And that, in fact, the glory we got to give Him is His glory. And recognize Him as an altogether glorious one. Are you getting a hold of anything? Boy, I hope so. Who said no? Amen. Did you say no? Somebody said no. Was that you, Doug? Was that him?
He said amen.
And His glory is revealed while He's close by. The Lord told Moses, said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." I want to ask you something. Have you found that place by Him? You know where that place by Him is at? It's on a place. It's on a mount called the Skull. It's on a place called Golgotha. If you want that glory of God, go to the cross. Go to the cross, I'm telling you. There's glory in the cross, ladies and gentlemen. Ah, Lord, if we can't give Him the glory, if His name is not due our worship and praise because of Calvary, please tell me what is worthy of it. He said, "There's a place by me. Draw up close to Calvary. Get up close to the heart of God." I remember I got in trouble several years ago when I first started pastoring, called Brother Nolan. He said, "Son, I'm telling you, I've been in your place." He said, "The only thing you can do is draw close to God and get up close to the heart of God." Well, I'm telling you, the heart of God can be found on the cross where He gave His only begotten Son to receive and to regenerate poor lost sinners like you and I. Amen. There's a place by me. And that's where He'll reveal. That's where He'll reveal His glory. It's that place by me when you're close to Him. His goodness, may I say also that His goodness and glory is not only revealed while He is close, but it's revealed through Christ. For He said in verse number 22, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." I will put thee. Everybody knows that rock's a type of Christ. Hey, you want to see that glory? It cannot be seen nowhere but in Christ.
Amen.
Now, I was thinking of this, and I hate to even mention it. But I thought about saying this. We quote that verse that there's unto Him be glory in the church, worlds without Him. That's in Ephesians, I believe, chapter 3 and verse 20. And we wonder why there's not much glory in the church. Maybe there's not much of the church in Him. God told Moses, said, "I'm going to put you in the rock. Let my glory pass by you that you may see all of my goodness." I want to ask you something tonight. Are you in Christ tonight? When a sinner gets saved, God puts him in Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God in the cleft of the rock. Are you in Him tonight? Or do you just think you are? It's a big difference. Have you ever seen His glory? If you've ever seen it, then you don't have no problem glorifying Him. Doing everything in your life you can to please Him and glorify Him. Being faithful. Amen. Come on now. Faithful in the house of God. Faithful to read your Bible and faithful to pray. Faithful to witness and testify the grace of God. It says down, declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders in verse 3. Among the people, amen. They declare His glory among the heathen. How in heaven's name are we going to declare His glory among the heathen if we don't have His glory settled in on us? The only way we can have it settled in on us is to be in Him. Praise God, if we're in Him, it's Him that's seen and not us. That's why we're hitting the rock. Amen. It's the rock that is seen. It's Him that is seen. It's not us that is seen. Oh, we could ever get a hold of that if people need to see Christ and not us. May God hide us in Him. May our lives be found hid with Christ in God, that the world may see Christ. Hallelujah. It's not me they need to see it. It's not you they need to see. It's Christ our Lord they need to see. Amen. I can't do them a bit of good. I can't do you a bit of good. You can't do nobody a bit of good. And I'll tell you who can, Jesus. Some of you in here do not think you're beyond the help of Jesus. You're not beyond His help. His hand can reach further down than you can reach up. His heart is more tender than you think. He can be touched. He receiveth sinful men. He does answer prayer, praise God. If we know that He heareth us, then we know that we have the petitions that we request to Him. Oh, bless His wonderful name. Thanks be unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. His glory, His goodness, and His glory is revealed through Christ in that rock. Then His goodness and glory is revealed while we are covered by His hand. And somebody say, preacher, what on earth are you getting at there? Well, He said in verse 22, and I'll pass by, put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about we're going to have to be shut up in Christ. We're ever going to see that. Somebody said, what do you mean shut up? I'm talking about, hey, we're going to have to find our place, shut up alone a little bit. I'm not talking about, come on in the house now. Son, all we want to do is run the roads and keep the roads hot. Keep Walmart in business. I'm going to tell you why our old timers had God. They sat at home at night, the candlelight, and read the Word of God. And shut themselves up with Christ, amen. They didn't run here and run there and run everywhere. They shut themselves up with Christ. God put His hand over the rock. He was in Christ and could not get out. I said, what's that word cover mean? Well, I'm glad you ask. I'm certainly glad you ask. Cover means to hedge up or to shut in. Yeah. Buddy, I'm telling you, hey, God's going to have to hedge some of us up. Yeah. And shut us in. Yes, hallelujah. To reveal His glory to. How can we give Him glory through His name if we don't know what His glory consists of? I'm going to tell you, the only place we're going to find it's in Him, buddy.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. I could run my head through a wall tonight. Do you count how many times glory is written in this one little chapter? At least three, maybe four times. You reckon God's trying to tell us something? The object of our worship is the Lord. Amen. And the glory, hey, the glory of God consists of His goodness. Now I'm simply saying that we're going to have to be shut up with Christ before we can ever see His glory.
Amen.
To learn what it is. We talk about the glory fallen. Most people don't even know what it is.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I know one thing. When the glory sets in, we'll run the aisles, bless God, and we'll jump pews, and we'll scream and shout and have a time. I'll tell you what Israel did. When the glory set in at the door of the tabernacle, they stood in the tent door of their buildings and bowed unto God and worshiped God, never said a word. They never said a word, friend. They said, hey, don't you let God talk to us. Moses, you talk to us. And when Moses came down from the mount and been with the Lord, shut up with the Lord. Come on, shut up with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. That Bible said his face had a glow to it that Israel could not stand to look at. They had to put a veil over his face when he would talk to Israel. But when he talked to the Lord, he'd take it off and go back into the tabernacle. They didn't want to see that glory. They didn't understand that glory. Didn't realize they could all have it. And I believe some of them probably had the idea that Moses was the only one that was supposed to have it. It's like a lot of Baptists today. They think the preacher's the only one supposed to have any glory on him.
That's right.
He's supposed to carry the load and have all the glory on him, carry the whole load. No, he ain't.
That's right.
What's your problem?
Yeah,
you like to be shut up with him, bro? Somebody said, well, I couldn't stand 40 days alone. You got it. Me and Brother Steve were sitting back there talking today. I got over here a little after 2. I sat over there, had to go back about 10 to 4, finish the last point of my message, and I ain't got done with the first point yet. I had to finish the last point of my message. We got to talking. And I said, when of course, deer hunting come up. And I said, Brother Steve, I said, I've read where some of these big pros say if you really want to kill a deer, sometimes you really got, I mean, you've got to be gungy about this thing, gung-ho. I said, some of them I've read where they said you've got to get in that deer stand before daylight and don't come out until dark. Brother Steve said, you know, I tried that one time. I said, I did too one time. He said, I'm telling you, it like to drove me nuts. I said, hey, join the crowd. You said in something from 5:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the evening, 12 hours, just sitting there.
Ain't gonna do that.
Sonny, just rough. And I'm here to tell you, I saw a book. I got a magazine in the mail yesterday from the Reform book sales of some kind. They got a book in there that I think I'm going to have to get by Jeremiah Burroughs. It's on the self-denial of Moses. Oh, I'm going to tell you, to get that glory, there's going to have to be a little self-denial in our life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Have to deny a few things, and self has got to be one of them. We've got to learn to deny self if we're ever going to please God. We got to deny ourselves. Hey, and I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please the Lord.
Amen.
I found out a long time ago, if man starts preaching to please man, he'll soon run out, buddy, and get run off. But if you preach to please God, all the imps, the devil, the hell can't run a preacher off.
Amen.
If God wants him there, God will keep him there in spite of that crowd.
Amen.
Amen, buddy. Praise his wonderful name. Give him the glory that's due his wonderful name. Amen. We're going to have to be shut up with Christ before we can ever see that glory. Then I want to say that his goodness is also revealed in rejoicing. In the psalm that we're in, in verse 11, it said, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Amen. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. I believe I'm still on the earth. We ought to be glad. Somebody said, you ain't talking much about the chemistry. I think the chemistry is something. It's what something's made out of. And the chemistry, ladies and gentlemen, of worship, it consists of you and I giving him glory. It's due his name, and that glory can only be given to his name if we understand that glory and recognize that glory and have that glory on us.
Amen.
You think you've got glory? I ain't seen much lately.
Amen.
On me or anybody else. Now, His goodness in rejoicing. When was the last time that you really rejoiced in the Lord? I won't say this, and I won't try to hurry here. Got a couple more things you want me. Not only the glorious object of our worship, but the glorious obligation of our worship. He said in verse number 8, "Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name."
Amen.
That is, we're obligated to do it. May I say this? That worship is not optional.
Amen.
It's not optional.
Amen.
It's binding.
Amen.
It's not an optional thing.
Amen.
Now, I know we're not jumping pews, but I'm telling you, I'm simply telling you that worship is not something you can take or leave. He said He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And those that are saved by the grace of God will, I want to say again, they will worship the Lord. They'll give Him the glory for everything that's in their life. I don't care what God does. They'll give Him the glory for it. Some of these big name preachers, you know, They've made the name, made the title of buddy. They've been recognized. They're up in the world. And they don't give God the glory for nothing.
Amen.
Son, I'm 41, 1 and 1. Well, He ain't nothing. Praise God, I'm 41 and no. That is, I've lost 41 and not won none. Y'all get that in a minute. Amen.
Amen.
Worship's not optional, it's binding. Now, we're obligated to worship Him because of what He is. What is God? He is supremely great and should therefore be reverenced.
Amen.
God's not just a great God. God is supremely great.
Amen.
He is great beyond great. He's the greatest of the greatest.
Amen.
And because of that, we ought to reverence Him. Oh, God is not some little Johnny come lately whistle britches dude sitting up there, or some old gray haired man sitting up there stroking his beard. Amen. That's right. Come on in the house. He's not some old gray haired man that dawdles little boys on their knee like I read the other day in the paper and then tries to sodomize them while he's doing it like his Santa Claus did down here. He ain't doing that.
Amen.
God is to be reverenced as God.
Amen.
And He is supremely great.
Amen.
Supremely glorious.
Amen.
We ought to reverence Him. That is, there ought to be a fear of God.
Amen.
Is there really any reverential fear of God amongst us today?
Amen.
There ain't not many people that fear.
That's right.
They fear man, but they don't fear God.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you the reason they don't, because they don't believe God. If we really believe that book and really believe that what says in that book is going to come to pass and the end is going to be the way it says it's going to be, it'd change us.
Amen.
And we'll have to stand before Him someday.
Amen.
Whether at the white throne or the judgment seat, we're going to have to look God in the face. Have you ever looked a judge in the face? Have you ever looked a king in the face?
Amen.
It's a fearful thing.
Amen.
When I was in Vietnam, they said,
king, huh?
they said, General Westmoreland is coming by to meet with the troops. Here I am, a little buck private, and there's a general coming by, and I got to look him in the face. Fear, friend. And you imagine one of the angels heralding forth and said, "Prepare thyselves, God Almighty. It's coming by for an inspection today. And what he's going to be looking at, it's not the outside, how shiny or bright it is. He's going to be looking at your heart, what kind of a man or a woman you are." He's supremely great, should therefore be reverenced. He's supremely gracious, should therefore be loved. Oh, the grace that He's bestowed.
Amen.
In order to be loved, He's supremely glorious, and should therefore be humbly adored. And then an obligation to worship Him, not only because of what He is, but to worship Him because of what He does.
Right.
May I say, provides a glorious redemption. Hallelujah. Redeemed and how I love to proclaim it. Thank God for redemption. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Hey, but we don't worship. No, I ain't going to say that. I'm just going to wait till I get there. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. But He provides a glorious redemption for us. What about that? What about He provides providence for us? What about the providence of God? Man, a lot of people doubt it. But you can't run through that Old Testament and doubt the providence of God in them people's lives. You can like me for this or lump me for this. I really don't give a flip. But it said about Jeremiah, God said, Jeremiah, I knew you and called you while you were in your mother's womb. I called you. Now, here's really one that y'all is going to get tore out of joint on. But it come to me the other day, and I'm not dogmatic. I'm throwing this out. Brother Steve asked me, Brother Chuck, he said, the Bible talks about God who dwells in the thick darkness. Now, what does that mean, God dwells in the thick darkness? I said, well, is it God a lot? I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't know. And it does say that. The Psalms that God dwells in the thick darkness. And in the beginning, there was darkness over the earth. But God was there. And He said, let there be light, and there was light. And there was light before the sun ever was created. Now, here's what I told Brother Steve. Now, don't disown me. I said, the Bible said that God dwells in the thick darkness. Now, what did He bring us out of when we were saved? Out of darkness into light.
Amen. That's good, man.
Now, if I was real hyper, I'd say I might have been in that darkness with Him. But I won't say that because some of y'all crucify me. Namely, my wife. Food for thought. He dwells in the thick darkness. He brought us out of darkness into light. He was in the darkness. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That light wasn't the sun.
Amen.
That's pretty good preaching.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. If you think about it, I guarantee you give Him the glory.
Amen.
I ain't got some of y'all ain't got up. Some of y'all ain't got a hold of it yet. Look like a calf in a new gate. What about the position He's given us in Christ? Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Supremely glorious. And should be adored. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name.
Amen.
Now I'm going to finish this up. I see some of you already turned blue in the face. You know what time it is. You want to get home and watch Gunsmoke. But I want to mention the glorious offering of our worship. It says there in verse 18, bring an offering. Come into His courts. Bring an offering. And come into His courts. Now listen carefully. That word offering literally means a present. Hey, they say three wise men because there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know. There might have been 25 of them. Doesn't say there were three. Just said there were wise men come from the east. But the Bible said, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and done what? Worshiped Him!
Yeah.
I'm talking about worship tonight and the chemistry of worship. They fell down and worshiped Him. And then what did they do? And when they had opened their treasures, they presented, there's my thought, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let me ask you something. When you come to the house of God to worship, what do you offer Him?
Amen.
What kind of a present do you bring Him?
Amen.
What do I offer Him? What kind of a present do I bring unto Him? There was an Oriental custom that you did not come into the presence of a king without a gift.
Amen.
And He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You think He's going to let us come into His presence without a gift? I don't think He is.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. Worship in spirit and truth will always cost us something. That Oriental custom required gifts to be brought by all who would be admitted to the presence of the King. Now, what kind of an offering are you going to bring? I'll guarantee you this. Listen carefully. You can't bring Him a blood offering. It's already been brought.
Amen.
I know some of you is getting worried and nervous and all this and that stuff. I'll be done in a minute. I sat over there for 6 hours today getting this early. You can sit for an hour and 15 minutes and listen to it. But they fell down and worshiped Him and presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm telling you, worship. Worship will always cost you something.
Amen.
Again, I want to say that I ask for testimonies tonight. And a great number of us said, never offered to stand and say anything about God. And many of us never do stand and say anything about God. But what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about bringing Him a thank offering? Psalm 100 and verse 4 said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Oh, we ought to come to the house of God being thankful. Amen. Are you thankful tonight? Are you thankful? I want to say that about 100 times. Are you thankful tonight? Amen. Are you thankful tonight? You're not going to fry in hell. You're going to heaven by the grace of God. Are you thankful? Can you not enter into His court with thanksgiving? Name on us, friend. Amen. Enter into His court with thanksgiving. And into His courts, that's plural, with what? Praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Yes,
sir. I wonder what would happen if we come in that front door some Sunday morning just thanking God.
Amen.
Just thanking Him for what He's got.
Amen.
Oh, before I can shout hallelujah,
yes,
sir. Amen. I want to thank Him. For what He's done.
Yes, sir.
Done what no one else could do.
Right.
He is above all.
Amen.
And He is all in all.
Yes.
He's in the Father and we're in Him.
Amen.
That's His name. Praise God if we can get a hold of that. That's pretty much security, isn't it? He's in the Father and we're in Him. Devil have a hard time getting to us. He'd have to come through the blood, first of all. Then he'd have to get through God, and then he'd have to get through Jesus. That'd mean he'd have to get saved, and I don't think that's ever going to happen. Bless His holy name. Thank His holy name. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Bring a thank offering. Amen. Hebrews 13:15 said, by Him let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
To God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks.
Amen.
Unto the Lord.
Amen. Well,
somebody said, I can't do that. You mean you can't say thank you, Lord?
Yeah.
We sang that little thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Somebody help me with the rest of it. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so full and free. Can we not thank you for that?
Amen.
And I want to say, Lord, oh, this is going to get us. Lord, to bring Him the offering of the tithe.
Amen.
If he gave us all of himself, surely we can give him back a tenth of ourselves.
Amen.
Can we give him a tenth of our revenue?
Amen.
He give us all.
Amen.
Can we not bring all the tithes, plural, all of them,
Amen.
Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house? What Malachi said, I want to say he's not talking about literal meat. Now you listen to what I'm... The Bible talks about the meat of the Word.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's a bunch of God robbers in the house of God.
Yeah.
The preacher ain't going to be able to give much meat if there's God robbers there. That's not glorifying God with their money.
Amen.
And a tithe is a tithe. The tenth is just as fair for you as it is for anybody else.
Amen.
If you make $1 a week, your tithe is 10 cents. Amen. That's fair. If you make $1,000 a week, your tithe is 100. If you make $100,000 a week, your tithe, or make $1 million a week, your tithe is 100,000. Does anybody in here make $1 million a week?
Amen.
And the first fruits is his too.
That's right.
I wish you'd shut up about tithing. Can you give him a tenth of your time? I'm talking about giving him a tenth of your time. Somebody said, well, I come to Sunday school and church and preaching on Wednesday night. What do you expect? That's a whole lot less than 7 times 24. Can we give him a tenth, just a tenth of our talent?
Amen.
Not all of it, just a tenth. Somebody said, well, I can't do much. Give him a tenth of it. Somebody said, I can't sing. Give him a tenth of it. That's all he's asking for.
Amen.
We ought to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's plural. That we might give glory that's due unto his name. Give him the glory that is due unto his name.
Amen.
And we do that by worship. And again, I want to say that psalm was written when David brought up that ark and danced before the Lord.
Amen.
Offering sacrifices and dancing and praising God.
Amen.
Here's what one of the writers said, and I'll just throw this out at you. One of the writers said the last... There's no division here, but said the last half of that chapter, said the first half was written to Israel. And said David was so wise that he saw the love of God to all people. And the last half was written to us Gentiles.
Amen.
That's something that Michael couldn't see.
Amen.
I'm telling you, David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
He had been inside that rock and seen the glory of God and knew what it was and knew a little bit about life and a little bit about what was going on. Now, I know Moses was the one that was put in the rock, but I'm telling you, David had been there. He had seen that glory. And he could look beyond Israel and see the love of God loving all mankind. And in doing so, he was able to glorify God in doing that.
Amen.
Can we really glorify him? Give him the glory that is due unto his name? By worship. Worship in the beauty of holiness. Let's stand.